Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of the podcast, What Are You Going to Do? My name is Patty Mezzo, and I'm stoked and pumped about who I'm interviewing tonight, and I hope all of you guys are going to really enjoy this. I think you will. But before we get started, if anyone is listening to this for the first time, this podcast is geared for people who are very concerned about what's happening in this country. Not specifically about a virus, but about some of the rules, mandates, restrictions, and the freedoms that have been taken away for us for extended periods of time as a result of this virus, and the conflicting information that seems to be backing up these rules. We're being told that there are, quote, for our own good. But is this 100% true? Some of us have doubts. This podcast is for people out there who are really concerned, even worried about what's happening in our country. People who really don't want these restrictions to continue or even get worse. Those who wish they could do something, but they don't really know what they could do. And in fact, they don't even really know if they can do something. Well, having been in the freedom movement for a couple of years now, I, along with the guests I interview, are going to bring to you some actionable and doable steps that you can 100% absolutely can do. But steps that you can do right now, maybe from your home, your computer, some things will be very simple and easy. Others of you that are okay taking the next step, maybe you'll hear something that you're ready for. But this podcast is for people who no longer want to be watchers, talkers, Facebook feuders, but actually doers. That's what we need. That's why the name of it is, What Are You Going to Do? So today, I'm going to be interviewing a wonderful mom. Her name is Chelsea. She is a mom of two. She is a wife. She is self-employed and also a property manager and superintendent. We have a lot of wisdom coming to us. She is born in the beautiful island of Puerto Rico to a Dominican mother. So I would love to introduce Chelsea. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Patty. And thank you for having me. I am very excited to be sharing this with you. So I appreciate it. And to anyone out there that's listening, I appreciate you as well for doing something for yourself and just listening. May it be that, I don't know, like myself, the title of Patty's podcast just enticed me to wanting to know more. Like, what can we do, right? Just like she said, it's like, what can we do? Is there anything that we can do? Because these are the questions that we ask ourselves on a daily basis, you know, as mothers, as spouses, as just individuals, just walking around, you know, just saying, what are we going to do today? And I remember reading somewhere, and I believe it came from Steve Jobs, like, is what you're about to do today going to make you happy? And if it's not, what can you do to change that? So here we are. And that's, I guess, what we're going to touch upon on and whatever else comes through.
That's awesome. That is beautiful, too. And I want to remember that for myself. And sometimes the things we do that make us happy during that day, they may not feel all that pleasant, but it's what we actually want to be doing for maybe a greater good, things like that. So I think that's wonderful. Thank you for that. Already pearls of wisdom. So I appreciate it. So Chelsea, just tell us a little bit about yourself. We all have our own stories for bringing us into this freedom movement. You know, there are a lot of other things we could be doing with our lives right now. And this is not the easiest road, but we all have something that brought us to this road where we said, okay, it's time to do something. So tell us about what that was like for you.
Yes, of course. Just like that wonderful introduction. Thank you for that, Patty. You know, I to some people, we may be just another mom. However, we're not. We are mothers that do something. We don't know everybody's background. But just like you said, you know, I come from a single mom. At first, you know, she was a single mom, went to Puerto Rico, actually left the island as a domestic violence survivor. We did not know that till years after we moved to the U.S. That's how much she protected us, that we didn't know what was going on for a while. So, you know, as moms, we do these things, you know, we have all these hats that we wear. And now that I'm a mother myself, I understand that. Like, what happens? What is it that drives us to do the things we do? What motivates us to do the things we do? So I came here as a little tween, a little young little girl, did not know English at all whatsoever. I remember watching cartoons for the first time in English, and I was like, wow, this is what they're supposed to sound like, because I'm usually, this is not the way we watch Scooby-Doo, and, you know, this is not how Scooby-Doo sounds when we watch it in Spanish. Is this the right way? I think you guys got it wrong, not the way we have it. So it was always funny to watch cartoons in English and then understand that this is how it is, not the way we're used to seeing a translated version, right?
Amazing.
So it was so funny. But we came here, I remember it was 11 of us in a one-bedroom apartment. So imagine mornings to go to school. I'll leave that out to your imagination. If you have a big family, you know how that is. Mm-hmm. Starting super early in the morning. But all that, you know, it was building blocks for us. And me looking back, it's the things I use today to guide myself and my children. And it's not the same. We're not living in the same times, but throughout the time, that was something that I saw within my family, you know, work hard. You come here to this country to get a new start, to do something different. And I've seen many, many the way from families who, and mothers and just all families, not just single mothers, but just seeing families come here and start getting help, whether it was welfare or Section 8. And it was something that before you come, you're told, hey, you know, you can come here. You're going to get this, that help. Mm-hmm. But also not just staying there. It's also evolving from that. I do know and see some people who still till today take advantage of that. And I'll say advantage not lightly, because there are people who abuse the system as well. But it is for some people a starting point where you're coming from somewhere different. But we were taught to work hard, to go to school, to get good grades, to get what? A good job. And that's what we did. I went to school, got good grades, went to John Jay College, graduated. And here I am looking for employment after graduation, super excited. I had already had my son, but then everywhere I would apply, they would say it's either I had too much experience or not enough. And I'm like, well, I can't pay that. I can say to them, hey, you know, can we hold off to next month so that, you know, I can find somewhere where I qualify. So that's where things started to change for me and shift, because I started thinking, why do I need someone to validate who I am and the things that I have to do? Why do I need someone to qualify me and tell me that I'm qualified to do something when you don't even know that I'm qualified enough, because you haven't even given me a chance? So these are the things that started my road into just questioning, not just in general the things that we are fighting for today, but just everything in every aspect of life. And that's where I started. That's here I am, fast forward years later, a mom of two, self-employed, but I also am employed, if that makes any sense to anybody out there. You always have these side businesses, right? And these dreams that we have and these things that we pursue, just because we don't fold, because some way, somehow, we know that we're going to make it, even if we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Wow. Very well said. And that was, I mean, again, such an inspiring thing to say. Why do I need somebody else to tell me I'm qualified or to validate me? And, you know, I mean, just talk about somebody who has, we're getting these lessons that kind of led you to, I know we're going to hear a story a little more about your son and whatnot, but you were forming those opinions and that's thoughts, and you weren't necessarily taking someone else's word for it. Okay. You decided for yourself, am I going to believe this or am I not going to believe this? Or am I going to at least question it? Mm-hmm. And I think that, people in this country, especially people who maybe even are younger than 30 years old, it's rare that they, and I think society and the school system or whomever has kind of done a disservice to them to say, you know, there's different ways of looking at things. And sometimes being compliant isn't necessarily the right path for you. Correct. And so that was that. I mean, I just think about it, knowing your story a little bit, how that really shaped and helped you guide you, like you mentioned. So that's great. So now fast forward a little more, unless you want to mention anything else, because I know that you kind of started noticing things with your son. You had some issues with your son.
Yes. So it's just to say, because, you know, just like you were saying, you know, I didn't choose the path to settle for those answers. Mm-hmm. I always dug up and looked around me, because I was grateful for being around people. And that's the thing, you know, I was around people because we were painted a vision. We were painted a vision. You're going to move. We weren't asked, you know, my mom didn't ask, hey, do you want to move? No, she needed to do that. Mm-hmm. We weren't given a choice. We had no choice. And she paved a way through that. Mm-hmm. And what I appreciate is that even though after we came here, we were painted a vision. And that's really what I followed. And I said, well, if I see other people seeing it, if I see other people doing it, that means there's a possibility. And if there's a possibility and someone else has done it, that means I can too. And then just hanging around other cultures, just experiencing other cultures, made me understand that and appreciate that even more. And just kept asking more questions. Well, how do you do things in your country? How do you do things here? Well, what do you think? What do you believe? And which brought me to that quick story. You know, I remember watching when I was young, my sister and I, the movie The Parent Trap came out. And they're like in camp, and we're like, what is this? Like, you can do that? You can go to a camp? What is this? So many years later, my son was given the opportunity to go to a camp, and we all lived through him vicariously. Like, hey, you're going to camp, but we're all going to camp, because we used to see this just on TV. But before I got him there, it was just, okay, just questioning things that popped up. As he was little, I remember in order for me to get him somewhere, I needed to do something else. So, okay, in order for him to go to school, he needed X, Y, and Z to get in. All these requirements, whether it was vaccines or whether it was testing or this and the third. And I'm just like, oh, okay, well, I'm following what I'm supposed to follow. And I did. And until I didn't feel that it was correct. Until something inside me used to always, a little hunch, just always tell me, well, why? Well, why? Why do you have to do this? Mm-hmm. I also remember going in for a well visit when he was about 6 months old. And I'm like, well, if he's well, why are we here? Why are we here if he's well? Well, you need to bring him in. Well, okay. Well, is he well? Yes, he's well. But I remember a few weeks later, he was hospitalized, and no one could tell me why. No one can tell me why. Here I am with my pediatrician after bringing him since he was born to this pediatrician, and no one could tell me what was wrong. And that's when things just started to click for me and just say, well, hey, well, if he's this tiny little baby and we're here and you're telling me that I have to pin him down for you to give him something that he needs while he's well, I don't get that. And then just the look of horror in his face as I'm pinning him down because he's screaming his little voice out, just like looking at me like, Mom, like, why are you doing this? And I could really like talk through these actions, through these feelings that he was just telling me with his eyes. And I that wasn't sitting right with me, where I would say, why am I doing this to my son if he's trusting me? We have this bond where he's trusting me. Now we're here and I have to pin him down for something that I know he doesn't need, that I feel that if he's okay, he doesn't need, but I have to do it in order to take him to daycare, for me to go get, finish my degree. So it was something that I was pinned between the wall, like we say, right? And it was just something that didn't sit well with me. And that's where it clicked for me, where I started asking questions, you know, to other moms. Hey, have you felt this way? Have you been through this? And everybody would always say, well, I don't know, I just asked the doctor. But I'm like, yeah, but what else? Well, no one had answers beyond that point, which is why I started looking. And at first I felt alone. I did. I would cry myself to sleep and just say, hey, why am I feeling this way? But I also knew that I needed to find out because no one was giving me answers, and that alone didn't sit right with me. And fast forward till today, you know, that's something that I still do. When it doesn't sit right with me, I start to ask questions. And when you start to ask questions, coming from a person, again, I should have mentioned that in the beginning, my background, you know, I have a degree in criminal justice, and I studied body language. I studied psychology. I also have a minor in that. And just body language just made me realize how they're answered towards me, the way they responded towards me, gave me and raised my doubts. I would just ask a question and being told, well, why are you asking that? Well, why are you answering with a question? Now it becomes an interrogation, which were my favorites. And we're just here like, well, why are you asking me that? Why are you answering with a question? Why can't I ask you this?
This is you're talking about the pediatrician's office, right?
Talking about pediatrician's office, correct. Yeah. And I'm just like, well, what happens, you know, if I say no? Well, you can't say no. Well, why can't I? And just like, okay. But you know what marked it for me, Patty, was when after being in this place for so long, we got fired. And the reason why I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, or whoever is listening to this, we got fired is because being in that room and just thinking, these were just thoughts in my head. And I said, you know, how about if I say no? Here I am at a well visit being told you're in the right percentile of height and weight. Everything is great. Keep doing what you're doing, Mom. Hey, hooray, you're doing great. And then just say, hey, well, now here we are. Your kid needs XYZ shots. And I'm just like, well, no. And they're like, well, why not? I'm like, well, why not? Why not? And then, well, hold on. Wait for the doctor. And then the doctor say, well, what did you hear? What did you see? And the posture, the tone in the voice. And it's just like, why? 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 Well, there's no particular reason. Can I just say no? Well, do you know that you can't go to school? You can't go to camp? You can't go to here? Yeah. Well, okay, but calm down. I just wanted to know. I just wanted to know, do I have that choice? I didn't, obviously. And so we were fired. We were told we can no longer come there. We decided not to do that. And that alone raised even more questions.
And how long ago is this? Now, this is not very recent. This was a few years ago, right?
It was about 8-9 years ago, actually. And I was told you can come pick up your records and go elsewhere. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. I actually did find another pediatrician, but funny enough, we're no longer there either, because after we were told, yes, you can come here, then we were told because we were declining vaccines, they were like, well, you can no longer come here. But I just was saying all of that to say this, because something raised a doubt in me. We were pinned differently. And it wasn't that I was anti anything. Mm-hmm. It was just that today we have been so easily labeled that we label everything. And I didn't want to be a part of a label. I just had questions that I wanted answers to. But the treatment that we were given was what raised my doubt was what raised more questions, mm-hmm. was what prompted me to start digging. Had I not, I don't think that I would have digged prior to that if I were given some answers instead of the way we were treated. But we did. And I felt alone at the beginning, but then I had my daughter. And then when I had to bring her into school, that I went through the same thing again, but now with the school system mm-hmm. in the school district, that raised more questions. But that also led me to meet so many great people, because I used to think that I was alone. And again, coming from a Latino community where we are just told what to do, and many of us are afraid to even ask questions because we think, hey, this person doesn't have papers, maybe we're going to get sent back. Or let me not ask too many questions because I don't want to make this person uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Or let me just stay quiet, which we do that a lot. Mm-hmm. We're just going to stay quiet because, you know what? I want to avoid this problem. It's just easier to go with the flow. Like, what's the problem? What's one shot? What's two shots? What's one mask? What's 14 days? What's just not saying anything? What's just, you know, lessen the curve? And now here we are, a year and a half later, almost 2 years now, and our world has been torn. Our day-to-day is not the same. Mm-hmm. Our families, our interactions, we can no longer see someone smile. People's body language has changed so much. Doubts has been raised. Now we wake up every morning with a different perspective. Now we don't even wake up to the same question I asked in the beginning. Or were you about to do this, that make you happy today? So these are the things that prompt all these changes for me and my family. Mm. And then I just started looking around and found many other people that felt the same way. So one action that I would say to you as a mom, as a dad, I actually know a single dad who's a widower, who's going through the same thing, who was scared at the beginning. Just knowing, what can I do? Well, one thing I would say is to reach out to your community. Lately, we've been told maintain 6 feet apart, do this. No, reach out. There are a lot of people who think the same way. We may be in fear, but one action that I would say, what as a step one, if you were to ask me in step, is reach out to your community. There are other people that think like you. There are other people who believe the things you do. And even if you don't, because you will find people who don't think the same way we do, we all have choices. I respect each and every one's choices. Mm-hmm. I grew up Catholic. I'm no longer a Catholic. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. Or I aspire to be, because I'm not perfect. But we're all different. We all have different beliefs. I have Jewish friends. I have Muslim friends. Mm-hmm. I have family who decide to vaccinate. And I know families who can't. They want to, but they can't. Or I know friends who do some vaccines and some they don't do. And guess what? That is all okay. But when you're put into a position where you're being told, if you don't do this, you can't feed your family. Now we're back in that same thing that I was saying in the beginning. Who are you to tell me what I can or can't do? Who are you to tell me that I'm not deemed essential? Every job is essential if I'm getting a paycheck to put food on the table for my children. I understand that everybody has that privilege of has that because you have single moms out there. You have children who are helping their mom, who are employed helping their mom to pay a bill, to pay a cell phone, to pay the light, to put food on the table. So again, who are you to qualify me to tell me, no, you can't do this or no, you can't do that? Step two, build a community. Look for like-minded people who think that way, but also who are willing to stick out their necks for you as well, because you do. We have a lot of people who do that, you know, when you're trying to do something different. Step three, turn off the news. One thing as a Latino community, no, because, well, where did you get that info? Because the news says so. First of all, that, no. Turn it off. Turn off the radios. Pick up a book. Read history before we are doomed to be living it, which at this point we already are. But pick up a book. Mm-hmm. Think, ask, make choices, but informed choices. There are differences. Just like when you were about to buy cigarettes and they tell you, well, read the labels. You can't smoke if you're pregnant, or you can't drink this drink if you're pregnant, or if you have this or that. Read, because there is something called propaganda. Look it up. Read. It's a book, 10 to 15 minutes a day. Declutter your mind. Garbage in is garbage out. Turn off the radio. Go outside. Walk. If you're feeling depressed, take a different route to work. Just those little type of interruptions on a daily basis can help tweak your brain. Ask questions. Don't settle. Don't just say, because this person said so, because now you're just literally sharing. It's like if you're on Instagram or any other social media, you just press something forward and you don't even know what it is. Mm-hmm. Don't do that in your life. You know, making little interruptions and tweaks here and there on your daily routine, that would help you find the truth, because the truth doesn't need to defend itself. It's just there, and it just is. And whether you find it out one day, 2 days, 1 year from now, it's still there. It will come to light. It will. Especially now, with the way things are, we can see that. Just go down. How many rallies? Don't you see how many people go around the world? You know, things that you don't get to see in the news. Just from a friend that knows a friend that knows a friend that may be going through it. Speak to your politician. I know Patty has a great one on that. Check it out.
Thank you.
You can do that. I did that. When I started doing that, remember, guys, how I just said I had to deal with the school district? My daughter was not going to be able to go to preschool. To kindergarten. And guess what? I started asking my politicians, like, hey, this is going on. I'm your constituent. I voted. Can you help me out? And guess what? They do, because they're your servant leaders. Understand the law. Understand your rights. Don't be afraid that because you are a Latino or Hispanic, you have no rights. Or because you're a resident, you have no rights. You're a human being. You are born with rights. Mm-hmm. Understand that you can do things differently to get to that. There's so many people willing to help. So many people willing to help, only if you ask. And I know it could be scary. Sleepless nights. Confusion, just plain being afraid. But guess what? If you do it, even if you're scared, one of my favorite characters growing up, it was Chucky from the Rugrats. He would always do things, even though he was scared. But he has his little friends. He had Tommy, his little friends, always like, you can do it. And he did it, even though he was scared. And that's what we do. You know, just go out there. You're not alone. You really and truly are not alone.
I mean, that you just said so many great things. I mean, I'm taking notes because you're giving me ideas to, oh, I got to do this. I mean, this is such a great example of two people coming together. We're not famous. We're not celebrities. We're not politicians. We're not doctors. We're not journalists, etc. We're actually the people. The people are considered the fourth branch of government. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So, and it seems like I'm hearing that more and more. But I mean, some of the things that you mentioned, turning off the news 100%, and also, and I'm sure you meant this too, like social media, because the things that Chelsea and I see kind of in the circles that we travel now would have your jaws drop, that
yes,
you
ma'am.
Do not see on the news. What's happening in Australia right now is just, it's, I don't even want to say it's horrific, but it kind of is. And
yes,
you know, I always wonder why some of this stuff isn't on the news. You know, they get to pick and choose. And the minute that they told us to, you know, stay home for 2 weeks, I turned to my husband and I said, that is it. they have us in the place where they want us, because it was almost like 9/11. We were glued to the TV and to the radio because we just couldn't get enough of information. We just,
correct,
you know, and this was the same thing. But now they have us completely enticed. We're home. They know we're going to be watching, and they can say anything to us. And again, at this point, you know, some of us who have kind of been in the trying to advocate for our children against some of the, I mean, my son is vaccine injured. Some people don't have that, but they just believe that, you know, I should have an option, or this is very against my religious beliefs.
Your choice.
Exactly. Whatever it is. But it's there's just, it, they pick and choose what they want to say, and they have been trying to use fear for years and years. It is the greatest motivator, because more people will do more to avoid fear than they ever will do to get something. Mm-hmm. And that's human nature. I mean, that's a survival mechanism, and there's nothing inherently wrong in that, but the information we get is so cherry picked and often tweaked with a word or two here and there. An example, oh gosh, this is probably a year ago. I was walking through from one room to the other in my house, and my husband was watching TV. And at this point, the numbers of deaths were going down, okay? And the woman on the news was reporting that the deaths, because, you know, who remembers back that far, but there was supposedly going to be at least 2 to 3 million people who were going to die from this. Although that guy was completely shown to be completely untrue when he was asked to back up how he came to that number, and he couldn't do it. Again, something most people probably didn't even know of, because they don't put that on the news. They just say it, get the effect that they want, and then they're on to the next thing. But anyway, I'm walking through the house. My husband's watching this, and they kept lowering the projections of numbers now, because not enough people died to make enough people afraid. So here's what the newscaster said. Oh, the latest prediction of the COVID deaths is down to whatever number, she said. Okay. So she said the news, but this is where the little tweak of propaganda comes in. She said that. Here's the new prediction. And then she said, but that is still a lot of people. And I said to my husband, that has nothing to do. She had no, there's no reason to say that. That was not a fact. That was an opinion. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's so subtle. It is so subtle. Most people wouldn't even think. And I think the only reason why I picked up on it was because I wasn't really watching it. I was just kind of going through the room. So somehow that just like stuck out in my head. And my husband was like, oh yeah, you're right. You know, that saying that's a lot of people relative to what, you know,
right.
They have been trying to use scare tactics and trying to pit, you know, parent against parent in the vaccine issue for probably 20 years now. They try to pit parent against parent. Oh, yeah. This one's an anti-vaxxer. This one's not.
Labels.
Exactly, labels. And then it became, you know, of course, now the election. So it was Democrat versus Republican versus, you know, right. Whatever else. Then it was Black versus white, because the Black Lives Matter thing came to a head. Then the Asian people started getting.
Right.
So it was this and that. It was mask versus non-mask.
Yeah.
That helps. That helps an agenda, okay? Or a narrative, if you will. And the more they keep us separate, the more they keep us 6 feet apart, of which there is no factual data that says that 6 feet is a magical number, and you can look that up. But again, common sense, wash your hands. If someone's coughing, you stay away from them. If someone's sneezing, whatever the case is, you know, we all know that. Okay. So it's not like we needed COVID to tell us that. But fear is the great motivator. And when they have people in factions and they have people separate, then we cannot unite. We cannot do exactly what you were saying, Chelsea. Have mm-hmm. a conversation face to face. I remember being at a, we were, I think the two legislators, my assemblywoman and my congresswoman,
Yes.
It wasn't Assemblyman. It was Andrea Stewart Cousins and Shelley Mayer. And a few of us, this was before COVID, a few of us went to this meeting. I don't remember what it was specifically for. We stuck out like sore thumbs. We felt uncomfortable, but we were a small number and we were united. And then afterwards, we had some one-on-one conversations. And I spoke to a woman who had worked in the district, I think New Rochelle, for years and years. She was like an icon, very well respected, happened to be African American. And she was saying, no, I don't want my child next to an unvaccinated child, blah, 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 blah. And her heart was in the right place. All she wanted was for children to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And I simply said to her, if you took a medicine and you had a bad reaction to that medicine, you would call your doctor. Your doctor would say what? My doctor would say to stop it. And he or she may prescribe something else. And correct. I said to her, that's exactly this. There is no medication on the planet that is safe for every person on the planet. And when correct. I just simplified that for her, something clicked. And I said to her, my son, who happened to be with us, so people could see very obviously he wasn't, you know, behaving in the same way. He was in the corner kind of jumping up and down, and I mean, he stuck out even more so than we did. When she looked at it through the equal person, just one-on-one conversation, you know, over the internet, you could say what you want and you could post your journals and your articles, right? And we can get into a feud. That is if they don't censor us. But face-to-face, I think, is just the most precious thing, because now it's a person with another person to say, these are the shoes that I've walked in, you know? And it's very difficult to have that judgment against that person because you see them as a human being, just like you said. It doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter what religion you are, whatever it is, we are living, breathing human beings, and we all have rights and they all need to be respected. And you know, what looks right for you is something else. My second podcast, I interviewed a gentleman who was running for office. His name is Rob Bennett. I happened to have a conversation with him a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a text message, and he was talking about, and you said the same thing, Chelsea, but he said the groupthink is rampant now in the world. You cannot have a different opinion. And if you do, you get canceled. Right. And in a country that's supposed to be, you know, a champion of diversity, it just seems to have been completely homogenized into, you must think this way. You can't, if you don't think this way, you're a bad person or you're an evil person. I was thinking about it today. I'm not responsible for anyone else's financial status or
another label.
Right. Or I'm not responsible for taking them to the doctor or paying their taxes or getting them a job. Why is it my responsibility for someone else's health? You know, we our own bodies. I have to pay my bills. You have to pay your bills. So I have to take care of my body. It's not my responsibility is to not do something for your safety. I wear a seatbelt because I want to be protected, not because of the other person in the other car. And so, you know, I mean, it's just all of this stuff is just so good to think about. And just the fact that you were such a critical thinker and that investigative mind just went right into it. And it's amazing. And again, I think that just prepares us to get to this point, you know, and that does unite us. So I wanted to ask you, when you said, you know, start looking for people and start finding, when you started finding people, you know, it helped you. So how did you find those people? What are the steps that you actually did, or what would you suggest people to do? How to find somebody, anyone, you know, what would you advise people?
Utilize your tools that you have around you. And what do I mean by tools? We have social media. Use that to your advantage, not to your disadvantage. Because, yes, you're stuck on it, but you have a device, whether it is whatever you have. You have a $1,000 device on your hand where you're watching something through this screen, yet you feel less or whatever. No. Utilize these tools to your advantage, not for your disadvantage. Because today we are looking for answers for a savior in all the wrong places. You know, I can give you 1,000 analogies to that, but I won't, because you could utilize everything to your advantage. And that's exactly what I started doing. I went to the library, mm-hmm. looked up books on these subjects. It's there for you. You know, I read, you know, you people back in the day, you wanted something, hide it in plain sight, put it in a book. They're not going to look in there. They're too busy believing what the TV says. You don't question it. So utilize these tools to your advantage. I do use social media, but in a moderate form, in a moderate way. You know, I looked up groups on Facebook, mm-hmm. moms asked questions, go out and take action, because what's the point of, you know, having all these advantages? Because we came here, understand that we came here because someone painted a vision to my mother and she went after that. And that vision was transmitted onto us to work hard. We don't settle for less. We shoot for the stars. And so that's what I started doing. I started figuring things out, because just like you said, what works for one person doesn't work for everyone. One shoe doesn't fit everyone. Mm-hmm. So I had to go out there and look and take action. And what do I mean by taking action? I put it to the test. Right? Well, if someone gives you a review about something, hey, you know, go to this restaurant. This restaurant is amazing. The food is good. And then you go and the food is trash. And you're like, but you said this was good. It wasn't for you. We don't all have the same taste buds. So taking action, put it to the test, ask questions. Mm-hmm. And then once you start looking up other people, again, look up these books. We have one of the amendments, freedom of speech, yet we don't use it. We're so afraid to speak up. And it's one of our rights. Why are we so afraid? Why are we so afraid and we comply? Because guess what? Oh, well, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to get in trouble. You want to avoid altercation. I don't want to say anything because it's easier. Today, we were in the car just on the way to hang out with the kids. And I heard on the radio, it's just a mask, put it on. Well, it's not just a mask. How about you're saying that to your friend who has PTSD, who like a woman that I read her story, she was raped in the military. And the way she was raped was by they covered her nose and mouth with tape and then put a bag over her head. And every time she puts on a mask, that triggers that for her, that memory. Again, not everyone is the same.
Right.
And they all go through the same things.
There are people that read lips they can't see.
Yes. So it's not the same for everyone. It's not.
Right.
Believe mothers. That's what I started doing. Right. I believed other mothers. We know what's right for our offsprings. Again, I actually saw this in a movie, Enough, J-Lo's movie. Mm. She said it. You have the right as a mom to fight for your offsprings. Mm. You do that. It's just innate in us.
Right.
Someone come say something at the playground to your kid, best believe, especially the Latino moms, like, yo, what you saying to my kid?
Right.
What's up? What did he do? What's going on over here? Because we do that. So much so that I could be without my kids hanging around and I see a kid say, mommy, I know I'm not with my kids, but I'm going to look back and say, what's up? What's going on? Whose child is this?
Right.
Because that's just what we do.
So how did, like, do you remember the first time that you kind of found another mom or whomever it was? Like the
first time,
how did you kind of come across that person or whatever? How did that work?
That was awesome for me. Because I used to cry myself to sleep in fear, thinking CPS was going to knock my door.
Yeah.
To the point that I legit used to tell my husband, like, don't answer the door. And he would be like, but let's just go. And I'm like, you know what? At this point, I'm not even doing it because I don't. No, at this point, I'm just doing it to prove a point, to pave the way for someone who may need this.
Mm.
So if you're a mom who's asking, go out there and ask questions. Guess what? Patty has this platform. Email her.
Yep.
I'm on Instagram. I am Bella04. And I'm not just saying this all to boast or brag. I'm just saying it. Go out there. Ask questions. Okay? Comment on this. If you need something like it, share it with someone. Because that's exactly what we did. And then when I found the other crazy mom, because, you know, people first start calling you crazy, then they ask you how you did it.
Yeah.
So I love that, because people are like, oh, well, you're such a conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then now they call me, well, how did you do it? And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, are you willing to go through what I went through? Because I used to be legit scared. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, crying myself to sleep. Okay? I was afraid to open the door or go outside. But I did it anyways. Mm-hmm. And then when I did find my first mom, it was actually Rita Palma. Hi, Rita. Because I know you're going to be listening to this. Because I started just Googling things. Again, utilize these tools. Ask the questions. Yeah. So I came across her page, My Body, My Choice. Mm-hmm. And I emailed her. Mm. I did.
And how?
And I said, listen, lady.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
Wow. My daughter was going into kindergarten. So okay. About 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
6 years ago.
Yeah. Just to give a
point. And then when she responded, which she did, it was amazing. Because we're like, okay, we're going to meet up for coffee.
Awesome.
And we did. We shared stories.
Wow.
This is how she encouraged me to go and look up my assembly person. Guys, there's websites on this. You can go on a website and just put your zip code in. It tells you who's your assembly person and who's your senator.
And all their contact information.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And I did. I hit them up. Afraid. But I did it. And don't think that just because you're two or three people, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. It doesn't matter. You don't need 100 people to be heard. Yeah. It just starts with one. The power of one. Believe me, that goes a long way. Mm-hmm. I love movies. 12 Angry Men. How did he mm-hmm. change all the other jurors' minds? Mm-hmm. If you watched the movie, if you didn't,
mm-hmm.
hey.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that I did. Mm. Just putting it into action.
That's true. And you know, it's easy to kind of get caught off with, well, what should I do? What specifically? But, you know, it's almost like it's a little bit different for each person. So, you know, if you believe in God or you believe in the universe or you whatever you believe in, there's things that just pop up when you're open for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seeing Rita, who was, you know,
I was happy.
The queen freedom fighter, right? The queen
yes.
freedom fighter, or at least in New York and many other areas, you know, that just came up in your path while you were just doing your homework.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's not going to be the case for other people. They're going to find some, different way and some back way, or it doesn't matter, as long as you, I think, like you said, trust those instincts. Those instincts were given to us for a reason. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to use them, you know? And I think as scared as we are at times, it's almost worse to not do it, because that feeling is very hard to go away. That gnawing feeling as a mother, well, maybe, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, well, you know, I know with me, my son, he was my first. And so, you know, I didn't really know, because I'm like, well, maybe I'm just being like a paranoid mother or something like that. Or, you know, I didn't have some of the references that other people had, but I still knew. I've been an aunt since I was 5 years old. So I've been around, you know, babies and kids and mm-hmm. all this stuff. So, you know, I think that's how it worked for you. And I don't even remember how it worked for me. I have to actually sit down and think, because once you're in it, you're just like, you don't
just
even
do
question
it.
Right.
You do it. It just starts to flow naturally. And
right,
it just starts
right.
to happen for you.
That's
and again, coaching. One thing for me was, listen, in my mess is my message. It's like some people. I think you and I were talking about that, Patty, where, mm-hmm. you know, the doctor's office where he has all this craziness going on, but in that craziness, he has this mm-hmm. order.
Right.
And
yes.
I'm telling you, to whoever's listening right now, I'm telling you, it will click. It will click one way or the other, because you're out there in the trenches. You're figuring it out. So you'll figure out what is best for you and for your family. And one thing I want to say, Patty, you know, and it's funny because this just came across my Instagram. Mm. One of my friends reposted it from Megan Good. But it says like this. It says, one day you will tell your story of how you, I'm sorry, let me read that again. One day you will tell your story of how you overcame what you went through, and it will be someone else's survival guide. Mm. I'm telling you right now, I don't have any superpower thing in particular. Actually, you know, my mom always tells me every single time when she hears me speak and when I do events and things of nature or just going around and she sees me, she says, why don't you just go back to law school and go out there and do what you have to do, mija? Tú eres una profesional. And I say, mom, because I'm already doing it.
That's right. You have a degree.
I'm already doing it.
You have a degree and experience, right?
I'm already doing it. Again, I don't need someone to qualify me, to tell me how to run my life or put food on the table. You got this.
That's right.
It doesn't matter whether you're a single mom, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, whether you're separated, whether you are single and don't have a kid, because guess what? Eventually you will. And if you never do, just like you said, your aunt, uncle, cousin, brother, don't think that you can't do anything because it doesn't necessarily pertain to you. It may not pertain to you today,
right?
But it could down the road, 5, 2, 3 years from now, because guess what? We are shaping the tomorrow, even though we're not, we don't know we're going to be here later on. But you do want to leave something for someone.
That's right.
Because that's what our forefathers did for us.
That's right. And it was not
someone easy. Always fought in history so that we can have what we have today. Mm-hmm. Take it as basic as maybe, I don't know, a post, a quote, a meme, or whatever these days you see. Mm-hmm. You want shade, plant a tree. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see it today. Mm-hmm. But someone else may enjoy it later on. Do not think that you can't just because you're one.
Right.
Or whatever the case may be. Because we do have this.
Right.
We do have this. And even in trying times like today, we can still make it happen. Mm-hmm. Don't focus. What you focus on expands. Do not focus on the negativity of what's going on today. Today, I just had an amazing time. My niece is in charter school. Her school was out today. We ended up taking the kids unplanned, just going out there, having fun, just seeing the kids. You know, we went bowling and it was just amazing. It was just amazing. You know, go out there, give some, you know, it's still today, give free hugs. You know how cool that is? High five someone in the street.
Yeah.
I'm telling little things like that.
And your day. That's a great way to start. Kind of like
that's
for people who, are, you know, they're just afraid, they, you know, it's so out of their comfort zone. Something that's like it. Giving someone a high five or nodding, hey, how you doing?
Yeah. It smile.
It actually empowers you.
It's yes.
Just little thing. You feel, hey, you know what? I could totally do this. Whatever it is, whether it's reading something different and you know, I was very afraid too, but I think, you know, like we've been saying, that there's, you just take one step and then you'll take the next step. You don't have to know 500 steps ahead or even 3 steps ahead. And a lot of times we don't, because especially now things are changing just almost numerous times a day, you know, and it's, it's very, there's so much noise in the world that they want us almost paralyzed because so much is coming at us. And that helps them because we're like, wait, what's happening now? We're doing this. What's happening? You know, we're not pro. I mean, the world is not supposed to revolve that way. That's why we're so unfocused and we have ADD. And sometimes it's just easier to sit there and watch Netflix and escape. And there's nothing wrong with, we all need the escape, but we can't stay in the world of fantasy. We can't stay watching Amazon Prime or Netflix or, you know, just TV, whatever it is, or, you know, TikTok, whatever it is, because I heard someone say once that that's why they call it programming.
Right.
But this, I really hope that this inspires people, because it's getting to the point where we need as many soldiers, so to speak, than ever before. Because I don't know, it's easy to shut out because it's hard to hear, but if we keep shutting it out, you know, eventually we're not going to have anything to fight for. And you know, I think that just opening up your mind is something, even like you said, just questioning, like, oh, let me go to this restaurant. Oh, this wasn't good. But you're taking action. Even that is an action. It doesn't have to be running for Congress, going to huge protests. Although I'm a believer in that. Most protests are very, very peaceful. I actually interviewed somebody who was at the January 6th protest that they say all these horrible things happened. And yes, there were some bad things that happened, but he was actually there, feet on the ground. That, I think that was my episode 4 or whatever it is. I think it's called, What Was the Rally Really Like? You know, again, I've been to rallies, and I'm sure you have too, Chelsea, where there's a few hundred people. And then on the news, they say there was 28 people there.
Yes.
And you're there, you know that they're not being honest. And
we know. And that's the reason why we say that. And it's funny you mentioned that, because there was one rally where we were there and we saw the interview. We actually, a bunch of us moms that were there and dads that were there, have it on our phone.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then to see how they edited that, and then you can see, because, you know, they have, it actually says it on the news website where they posted the article, edited. And we're like, yeah, you did edit it, because that's not what you first published, and then you edit it out. And again, remember, guys, social media is fake. We can put whatever we want out there. I mean, I'm pretty sure you've come across a lot of accounts of people saying this. We can post what we want you to see. We can manipulate a lot of things. But we're just saying all of this to you all that are listening right now, to say this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to just sit there and do nothing? And then think about it as a basketball game. Are you going to watch from the sidelines? Are you going to be a spectator? Or are you going to be out there taking these shots at life and going out there to play the game? It's really what it comes down to. So I say this to everyone that's out there right now that may be listening. Take a chance on you and trust your instinct. And I'm going to say this as well. Believe in God. That's all I have to say. And Patty, I commend you for, you're like the prime example of what we were just saying. You know, if anyone listens to her first episode, you can see how this came about, an idea. And she did it anyways. You know, we do things. We're going to make mistakes. It's okay.
Yep.
Because guess what? We can edit them.
We can edit them. But, you know, I'm not the most eloquent speaker in the world. You know, warts and all. This is. But you know what? No one really is. We've all seen great politicians make mistakes and celebrities fall on stage. Yes. And that's, you know, that kind of makes us endeared to them because they are human, you know. And Chelsea, you have been a wonderful, wonderful, like, your outlook is totally inspiring. Your story is so relatable. And I think sometimes people listening to this, doesn't have to be a mom, it could be a dad, it could be a grandparent. I think some of the things that you talked about, people are just going to remember things. They're going to have like almost flashbacks. And that's sometimes the best thing, to just start, oh yeah, you know, that happened years ago, or that happened last week. And the chains start to move in the brain, and you start to become, God willing, a critical thinker, which is exactly how this country came about. You know, something was not right. And, you know, we all have greatness in us. And so I just thank you so much, Chelsea. You have been a wonderful addition. I've been so blessed with such great interviewees, and your passion comes through, your strength comes through. And it's funny because, you know, your mom said, why don't you go back to law school? But she gave you all the education you needed. She was your law school in a sense.
Oh, yes.
She gave you that. So she already did that work. You don't have to spend a lot of money and put hours and time. She lived it out. So,
That could be a whole nother episode.
Exactly. So thank you so much. You know what? Maybe your
thank
mother
you.
Come on the show.
Oh yeah. No, thank you. And just real quick to mi familia, a mi comunidad, se lo quiero compartir en español para dejarles saber que no están solo. Apaga el radio, apaga la televisor. Acude a tus instintos, a lo que es natural dentro de ti, acuérdate que no estás solo y simple y llanamente con hacer una pregunta puedes empezar una jornada totalmente diferente. Así que de veras que te digo que no estás solo y si me estás escuchando, muchísimas gracias. So thank you, Patty.
This
is amazing.
Yes, bless you and have a wonderful evening. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe to What Are You Gonna Do? It's on all the major platforms. And can't wait to connect with you guys again. And my email address is pattymezzo@gmail.com. So please email with any questions. If you have anyone you think would be a good interviewer, anything like that, a subject you want to know about. And I will do my best to get somebody to represent that. And thanks again. And God bless everyone. And God bless America. Thanks again, Chelsea. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.